Well, it is good to see everybody who's with us here this evening, especially if you're visiting with us, and we do have some who are visiting. We are so very glad to see you tonight. I want to encourage everybody to pick up your Bibles and follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss this evening. We're going to continue on this evening with our series, Seeking Godly Wisdom, Practical Wisdom to Live a More Godly Life. And our primary text is coming from the book of Proverbs, an extraordinarily practical book with wisdom that continues to resonate today, godly wisdom, all designed to help us live a life even more pleasing to our God. And as we continue with this series tonight, we're going to discuss the importance of a vital characteristic for children of God. And that is a calm, peaceful spirit. The ability to rule over one's spirit. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Proverbs chapter 16. If you have a ribbon, mark it here in Proverbs. We'll be coming back to Proverbs throughout the course of this sermon. Proverbs chapter 16, and let's read verse 32. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. This is what the passage says. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Why is the ability to rule one's spirit so important as we seek to live lives that please our God? Well, it's because the calm, peaceful spirit prevents a number of deadly mindsets, attitudes, and actions that will keep us from heaven, while encouraging us and helping us to pursue certain attitudes, actions, and mindsets that will go very far in helping us to get there. Let's start with a few hindrances, a few things that are deadly, spiritually deadly, to the soul of a child of God. Things that the calm, peaceful spirit helps us to avoid. The first one I want to mention is this. Seeking offense. Seeking to be angry. Looking for reasons to be outraged. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Proverbs 3. Let's read verse 30. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 30. This is what the passage says. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. If there was a verse, this particular age, this particular generation, this generation, and I guess the previous generation in this country, if there's a verse we need to pay attention to, it's this one. Do not contend with one another for no reason. Do not be outraged at one another when an individual has done you no harm. And yet, and I've mentioned this before, and you know it as well as I do, we live in a country now where the ability to be offended is kind of viewed as a great value, as a good thing. In fact, I think that there are a number of radio and television personalities, even politicians and heads of state, who have made their career on the ability to be outraged all the time. Constantly offended all the time. Brother Gary, in his prayer, prayed for those grieving families in the Orlando area. I mentioned to you this morning that they said approximately 20 individuals had been murdered, and the latest news now, it's up over 50. A terrible thing. And I appreciated Brother Gary praying for the family and as they mourn at this time and hopefully see this as something that will lead them to the Lord, something that will cause them to think seriously about their soul's condition. But today, as the afternoon wore on, I was looking on Twitter at one of many of the reactions of our nation's leaders. These days, in the time in which we live, that's kind of the best way to know what our leaders are thinking. Just go to Twitter. I'll tell you there. And I'll tell you, guys, it's so sad to see what's happening. The event that occurred there for many has just turned into the latest occasion to express outrage over other things. There's so many, well, I told you this is what we needed to think about when it comes to radical Islam, and I'm outraged about that. Then the other side, I told you this was what's going to happen if we didn't tighten up those gun laws, and there's outrage over that. Then there's outrage over this, offense over this, offense over that. Nobody's even mentioning anymore what actually happened. And the thing that families are grieving over now, it's just another opportunity to be offended, to be outraged, to seek insult in some way. And that's just not something that's going to please our God. And in fact, it goes hand in hand and really leads to the next hindrance for a soul on the walk that leads to heaven. A hindrance that calm, peaceful spirits can help us to avoid. And the hindrance is this: the short fuse. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, back over to Proverbs. Let's read chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Proverbs 14, 16 and 17 says this: "One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." Brethren, have you ever really thought of the terrible danger the perpetually angry Christian places their soul in? Have you ever really thought about that? Turn your Bibles over to James. Let's look at chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So many similarities between James and Proverbs. As I've mentioned to you before, there are some who even refer to James as the Proverbs of the New Testament. So many similarities here. But listen to what James says in verses 19 and 20 of the first chapter. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, there is an anger every single Christian has got to be able to feel. The righteous indignation that comes about when God or His Word is insulted, is attacked, and needs defending. When Satan gets his clutches into a congregation and needs to be kicked out, we need to feel righteous indignation at those times. Yet the anger that comes from offense seeking, the anger that comes from jealousy or envy or any other carnal, fleshly, worldly motive does not produce the righteousness of God. It just doesn't. And I think the message is very clear. The perpetually angry child of God had better take a good, hard look at their lives. Because the inspired writers tell us this, they're not finding the righteousness of God there. And that's a serious thing. You know what else the calm and peaceful spirit helps us to avoid? It helps us to avoid lack of self-control. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, back over to Proverbs. We're going to go to 25. We're going to read verse 28. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Really notice this description. This is one of those passages, one of those verses that's just very vivid in the imagery that it sets forth. Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Now I want to approach this from the perspective of anger. Someone who's constantly losing their temper, constantly lashing out. And I realize there are other ways to lose, to have lack of self-control besides just that. But for the purposes of this sermon, that's the way we're going to view it. Lack of self-control when it comes to anger, when it comes to responses. Without the ability to rule my own soul. Without the ability to face circumstances with a calm, peaceful attitude, then, brethren, I'm not going to be able to help but fly off the handle from time to time. I'm just not going to be able to stop it. We look there at that passage, and the imagery you get is of this invading army that just comes into a city and knocks down all the walls. There's no longer anything to defend the heart. That's the imagery here. It's the defense of the heart. Calmness, peacefulness. It sets up a wall around the heart. But when that wall doesn't exist, when that calm, peaceful demeanor is not there, there is no defense then for the wall. And all outside influences, whatever they happen to be, come right directly to the heart. And then you've got an individual whose temper is constantly being lost. An individual who's constantly losing control of themselves. And that is no more Christ-like than these other two points that we've examined thus far. And when you have the individual who is constantly losing self-control because there is no calm, there is no peace within their soul, then you're going to find an individual who most of the time is going to be unwilling to forgive those who have offended them in some way. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to chapter 18 of Proverbs. Let's read verse 19. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. Proverbs 18 and verse 19 says this. It says, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. Now, more is involved in forgiving someone than simply a calm and peaceful spirit, and yet that spirit is an essential part of the willingness to forgive. Here's a passage that strikes me and has for a very long time. When our Lord, over in Matthew chapter 6, was telling his disciples how to pray, there are several different topics in that prayer that he lists, many different things that he could have returned to as he went through that prayer. I mean, you had praising God in that prayer. You had thanking God for everything that he had provided. You have a prayer for protection against temptation and the wicked one. You've got a prayer for provision, asking God to provide that which we need. Many different topics are listed in that prayer. I want us to notice what he comes back to Of all the things Jesus could have returned to after this prayer, let's notice verses 14 and 15 to see what it is. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When one's spirit stays perpetually angry, then they're always thinking about that slight. There's no calmness, there's no peace within their soul that can alleviate the sting of that slight. It's just not there. And so as they're thinking about what this individual has done to them, whether the slight was real or invented, as they're thinking about it, they're focusing not upon forgiving that individual, but they're focusing upon the grudge that is building up against that individual. Did you hear Jesus? See, a lot of times, brethren, we'll read these passages, we know what they say. Sometimes I have to take myself by the ears and say, Adam, do you believe what that actually says? I mean, do you actually believe Jesus meant this when he said it? So let me ask you, if you are here this evening, and for whatever reason you are unwilling to forgive, you are bearing a grudge, do you actually believe what Jesus said? Do you really believe? I mean, do you actually believe those words? Because what Jesus said is if we are unwilling to forgive, we will not be forgiven. You know what that means? It means we will go to hell. That's what that means. Do you believe that?
Well, the calm, peaceful spirit can go a very long way in helping us kick that deadly habit, being unwilling to forgive someone who offends us. So this particular spirit can do us a world of spiritual good. And it does that because it shows us the things that prevent us from being what we need to be, and then encourages, motivates us to do the exact opposite. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, back to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to read verse 16. And then we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 5 and read verse 9. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. Proverbs 12 and verse 16 says this: the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Now, bearing that in mind, turn over to Matthew 5. Let's read verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. This is right in the middle of the Beatitudes here. Matthew 5 and verse 9, Jesus says this in that particular Beatitude. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So bearing in mind this prudent individual who ignores an insult, the peacemakers who will be called the sons of God, let's consider a few things that a calm, peaceful spirit will help us to pursue. Number one, will help us to seek peace, even if we must take the first step all alone. Look back at Proverbs 15. Let's read verse 18. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. The passage says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. So you've got the individual here who lacks the spirit that we've been describing.
The individual without the calm, peaceful spirit. It means you've got an individual then who's probably going to be seeking offense, seeking reasons to be outraged. You've got the individual who's going to have a short fuse. You've got an individual who will not be able to control his or herself. Well, that person's going to face a strife potential situation, and they're going to view it in a certain way. Now, I want you to think about yourself, because we're going to be considering this strife potential situation with two different ways to approach it. And those two different ways were stated in chapter 15 and verse 18. The first individual who lacks the spirit we're describing, he or she is going to look at this situation and they're going to see it as an opportunity to assert themselves. They're going to look at this situation and they are going to determine to come out of this thing having stated their opinion, having stated it loudly, and having put that individual in their place hard. So they will know that person is not one to be stepped on. That's the way they're going to approach it. Not going to get mad, they're going to get even. They're going to hit harder. There's one way. But the person in the second part of that verse, they're going to look at the same strife potential situation. And they are going to make an assertive effort here. But the effort is going to be to diffuse it. This is a person who's not concerned with somebody thinking they can walk all over them. Someone who's not concerned with that person who's not acting like a Christian, may not even be a Christian. That person then will think they can just metaphorically bloody my nose whenever they want. That sort of stuff doesn't even cross their mind. There's a situation here where strife can enter into the picture. And because this individual is possessed of a calm, peaceful spirit, they're going to react in a way filled with godly wisdom. They're going to try to diffuse it. There's an example in the New Testament where I think we see this very thing occurring. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. It's kind of a verse that's stated very quickly, just almost seems to be stated in passing by Paul as he writes to this church. But it does give us some interesting and important information. Paul says there, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Verse 3 says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women. Help them what? Right there in the context. Help them to agree in the Lord. Now, I have no idea what their disagreement was. I believe we're safe to assume it was not a doctrinal disagreement. Paul tends to specifically mention doctrinal issues whenever they came up and were a problem. He doesn't do that here. He simply makes it clear that these two women were in some sort of disagreement. And the fact that in this public letter that was meant to be read aloud, he specifically mentions those women by name, indicates that the potential was there that the entire congregation could be affected or was beginning to be affected. Now, Paul makes it pretty clear. He had faith that these two godly women were going to be able to get this thing worked out. The church was going to help them do it, and Paul was confident in it. Now, ideally, they both would have cooled down, they would have met in the middle, they would have got it fixed, they both came to one another. Ideally, that's how it should have happened. But if it didn't happen that way, if for whatever reason, one of those ladies was so worked up that she just was not going to calm down, then for this thing to get fixed, it was going to require the other lady to calm down, to view it spiritually, to take the first step and attempt to resolve the issue. I think it's interesting that Paul is calling upon them to agree in the Lord. That means in the Lord was to be the sphere of their consideration. They were to think, what does the Lord desire in this? In the Lord's eyes, what are we? Well, they were sisters in Christ, in the same family. And because they were sisters in Christ, in the same family, worshiping the same Lord, then it was going to be required that they consider the Lord's will above their own. And if they weren't both going to take the first step towards one each other, then one of these ladies had to start acting like a Christian. One of these ladies had to say, what's happening here is not what the Lord desires. The Lord is more important than I am. And because I am a Christian, I will view my sister as more important than I am. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm going to take the first step to get this thing resolved. It's going to require a calm, peaceful spirit to do that. The next point I want to make is this. That spirit helps us to refuse a quarrel. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, back to Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 17 and verse 14. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. This is what the passage says. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. Turn maybe a page in your Bible, if you need to chapter 20 and verse 3, and let us notice what it says there. Proverbs 23 says this, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Both of these verses are so practical because they simply show us the way that life is. I mean, we all know when strife is approaching from a mile away. Especially if we're dealing with an individual we know. I mean, we know the topics, we know the mannerisms, we know the words that are going to lead to a quarrel. And the other person knows it. And because we're seeking to be led by godly wisdom, we cannot enjoy quarreling. I remember years ago at a debate, I heard two individuals get up. One individual began his speech, and in the middle of his opening speech, he said, and I got to tell you, I just love a good fight. The other guy got up there from a different group altogether. He got up there and he said, well, I want him to know I enjoy a good fight more than he does. How sad from two individuals who would claim that they've given their lives to spreading God's word. We know when strife's coming. And you get those times when the individual, knowing the exact words to use, knowing the exact manner in which to say them, reaches right into our heart and lights a fire. And you feel it coming. You feel it coming. And you know that quarrel is your decision away from starting. And it's hard sometimes not to jump right into a foolish argument with both feet. It's hard sometimes. This is where chapter 20 and verse 3 comes back in. Turn your Bibles back over there.
Proverbs 20 and verse 3. I want us to notice again what it says. Proverbs 23, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. ESV, which is what I use, has every fool will be quarreling. The New King James has it, any fool can start a quarrel. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what that's saying now. What skill is involved in starting a quarrel? Who can do it? The fool. All you got to be to start a quarrel is a fool. Simple as that. And if you want to keep quarreling, be a fool. Just keep being a fool. Don't change. You can start quarrels and you can just keep on doing it. That's all it takes. All it takes to start a quarrel and keep it going is to be a fool. That's what he's saying. I don't want to be a fool. Do you? I don't want to be a fool. And so we've got to resolve, and I know it's difficult, but we've got to resolve. I will not be a quarrelsome individual. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Foolish quarrels have been ruining relationships, including, sadly, the marriage relationship for centuries. Foolish quarrels destroy the good influence we can have on other people. He said, it is an honor to remain aloof from strife. Beloved, that's an honor that we've got to seek. And the calm, peaceful spirit helps with that. There is one more point that I want to make here this evening when it comes to the calm, peaceful spirit and what it helps us to do. It helps us to accept an insult without responding in kind. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, back to Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 19 and verse 11. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Proverbs 19 and verse 11 says this: good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. To overlook an offense. Now, with that in mind, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this passage is actually in the context of brethren taking one another to court. But there's a principle stated here that I want us to really consider, a principle that is so far removed from the thinking of the world that uninspired men would never even think of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the second part of verse 7 and verse 8. The second part of verse 7 says this: why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Why not rather suffer wrong? Because I don't want to. Right? I mean, that's the only reason we wouldn't. You know, somebody does something to us, and there's the temptation to respond in kind. Well, that person came over here, and they called me a name. They insulted me. Of course I'm going to insult them back. Why not rather suffer wrong? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? Our perfect example's going to do that. We've read the verse a couple of times here lately. I want to read it again. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. And verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. 1 Peter 2 and 23 says this.
It's talking about Jesus. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly.
I mentioned one debate to you that I was at several years ago. I want to mention another one now. Two individuals were debating an issue, and it was very clear that one of them had the Bible truth on it. The other didn't have anything that he could really stand on. So the other individual, the one without any biblical support, began to get really nasty. And it became pretty clear that his goal was to get under the skin of that other man and cause him to leave the topic of the debate, turn the whole thing personal, at which case, none of it mattered anymore. He started to use some terms and insults and name-calling to that man and really nasty and vile stuff. And I will never forget, even as the crowd, upon hearing some of these things, even as we were hearing them, we're beginning to murmur among ourselves, that other man did not respond. Not one time. You would think, based upon his reaction, that the individual he was debating was just as kind and considerate and compassionate as he could possibly be, rather than standing up there hurling vile insults at him. You would have thought he was the other way for the response that man gave. He never responded. Didn't act like he'd even heard it. He just got up there with the book, opened it up, and just presented the truth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. That's what the calm, peaceful spirit allows. How do we get it? As we talked about this morning, there's no magic switch, hidden button to press. We get it by getting in here. In here. In here. Not the top 10 list over at Lifeway or Berean. In here is where we get it. Following the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who teaches us exactly how to be what we need to be to please our God and to walk more closely with Him. Pursue the calm, peaceful spirit. If you find that you lack it, if you have it, pursue it even more and continue to grow. If you're not a Christian, you've got the opportunity now to become one. Believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him as Lord. And be baptized in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. All things are ready. The only question is, are you? And if the answer to that question is yes, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.